Isaiah chapter 6, listening to the correspondence report this morning, they went over the year of 1990, but every report was the disasters that happened around the world. And so there are disasters in our lives, but the greatest disaster is when we fail to walk with the Lord, when we sin against God. And so as we've had this wonderful time this morning of remembering the Lord Jesus Christ, singing those hymns, our desires, what are they for 1991? And here in Isaiah chapter 6 is a beautiful vision that came to this young man. Possibly Isaiah had never served alone in the temple. And so we read there in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one having six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Here we have a wonderful scene in the life of this young man, Isaiah. This vision of the Lord changed his whole life. He became the great prophet of God. And God showed him not only the things of the past from the very creation, but right on to the very end of the world's history. Even beyond that, even into heaven itself. And what an experience was that of Isaiah's. But let us go back to that first verse that says, "In the year that King Uzziah died." This year was a particular sad year in the life and history of Judah. Uzziah was a young man, only 16 years old, only a youth when he became king of Judah. But he set his heart to walk with the Lord. And for 50 odd years, he did so. And the Lord blessed Judah and prospered Judah. And the king walked with the Lord. But then we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 that pride filled the heart of King Uzziah. And yet he was a very godly man, but he wanted to go into the temple. He wanted to go in and offer incense on the golden altar of incense. He wanted to do this himself. Where this is the office of the priest in those Old Testament times. And so we read there that Uzziah went in, and 80 valiant priests withstood him and said, "O king, it is not your job to offer the prayers of the people, to offer incense on the golden altar." But he was full of anger against them, because he thought, "I am king." And as his anger rose up against these priests of God, leprosy came upon him. And we just read that King Uzziah died a leper. That background gives us some understanding for Isaiah saying, "Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." Because I can imagine Isaiah, who was born during this prosperous reign of this King Uzziah. Oh, how the Lord had blessed Judah under his reign because he walked with him. And Isaiah was born. And now, as all of Judah was saying, "What will happen now?" Isaiah too was questioning with his lips, "What will happen now? Why didn't God heal this young king?" He was only 68 years old. But he died a leper. And so Isaiah says in a confession when he saw the Lord, "Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For they had put their trust in the King more than in the Lord." And so how gracious it was that the Lord came to Isaiah and he saw him high and lifted up. And so as the beginning of 1991, shall we turn our eyes to look on Jesus and see him high and lifted up. He is the Lord. Although there's this great rumour of war, the Lord said this, "There shall be rumours of war, but let not your heart be troubled." And when we look at the situation in the Middle East today, it was interesting to see that the news media put more than 10% of the population of Baghdad are Christians. But the only church they showed on the television was the Catholic Church, where crowds were coming in Baghdad for the special Christmas Mass. There were Christmas trees and nativity scenes in Baghdad. But again, on the other side of the defence line is those hundreds of thousands of American service people who are facing 1991 with the prospect of laying down their lives. And so we need to be conscious of these people, that they might turn to the Lord at this time, and so there can be a great harvest of souls of whom the Lord died for in this conflict. But then again, what of 1991? I've been asked the question by some Bible Club members, should a Christian make New Year resolutions? Should a Christian make New Year resolutions? Let us turn over to Matthew chapter 5 as we connect these two things in regards to the ending of one year and the coming in of another. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 33. And it reads, "Again, you have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let thy communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." And so what are our thoughts? What are our resolutions? Should a Christian make a resolution in regards to the new year, which is the common thing in our community, across our land and across the world? We'll hear great communications on our news media in regards to people making new year resolutions. But here the Lord is saying, swear not, because it is an oath. And so we have to say yea, yea, or nay, nay. Nothing in between. For the Lord also says, when he comes to the church of Laodicea, that you are hot or cold. That's what I would like you to be, either hot or cold, but not lukewarm. And so we find there the church is condemned in Laodicea, and the Christians are condemned who are lukewarm. And so what of this new year that the Lord will bring upon us in his grace? What shall we decide in regards to our commitment to him for this new year? Examples in the Old Testament are numerous of those that said yes. Also, we find in the Old Testament examples of those that said no. And so let your communication be yea, yea or nay, nay. We find there in Genesis chapter 6 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and so he called him to build an ark. And so Noah said yes. He wasn't lukewarm, saying, well, we'll wait until the rain starts, Lord. I don't really can't believe all that you say. But Noah said yes, and that although the whole of the world's opinion was against him as a fool, building a boat when there is, and talking about a world flood when there hasn't been any rain on the world. But Noah stood to his yes to God, despite the fact that the whole world thought him to be a fool. This speaks to my heart in regards to our commitment to live the Christian life to the glory of God, despite our world around us, with all their philosophies, with all their opinions, with all their set values. What is our value? And what is the value that we will take into this new year of 1991? We then see Abraham, who is called to come out from the place where he's very comfortable. He has a family inheritance and he has a family business and everything is going so well. Very similar to the situation in Judah in Isaiah's day. Why should God ask Abraham to leave all that? Can't he be a first-class Christian for God right there in Ur of the Chaldees? He called him to go out. To go into a land that he didn't even know quite where it was. Because God had promised a great promise that would be for everlasting. And the greatest thing is for you and I to grasp today is that this new year will give us the opportunity to serve the Lord, which will mean that there will be blessing for eternity out of our walk with God. In 1991. And so Abraham left. He said yes. And he went. Then we find Joseph is a wonderful example. Joseph. He had that vision. And he believed it with all his heart. But he went from being cast into a pit and almost murdered by his brothers. He went from the pit down to Egypt, where he had that great decision to say no to Potiphar's wife, who day by day desired him to lie with her. But he said, no, let your yea yeas be yea yea and your nay nay. And so Joseph went then into prison, but from prison to palace, and out of that has come blessing for eternity. Then we find Moses, and let us turn to Hebrews chapter 11. For here we find Moses is recorded in God's word as a positive. Verse 24 of chapter 11, by faith Moses, when he would come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The prince of Egypt forsook all of that. And so the Lord is saying here when he spoke to those people in regards to the oath, that he is calling us to say yes to the Lordship of Christ in this new year, or no. And let it be quite plain, if we desire the things of this world, the houses and lands and cars and everything else, say no to the Christian life and walk that way. Because in Deuteronomy, this is what God has spoken out in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And let us read it there, because God called the people unto himself. And they were redeemed through the Red Sea, through the Passover. And then he said, choose this day. There's still a choice for the Christian. And if you read through chapter 29, you find there all the options of the curse. And then chapter 30, the blessings. And then he says in chapter 18 of chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days. Now it's verse 19 we wish to read. That is, if they choose to say no. Verse 18 comes into play. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. And so God throughout the scriptures has made a clear-cut choice. And the Lord says, it's yes or no. And so, as this new year approaches in the will of God that he gives it unto us, a year that I believe is the year that the church will be raptured. And people say, well, brother, you're stepping out of line now. But Paul believed when he was alive that this new year that he stepped into was the year that the church would go to heaven. And how much more so in these days. And so let us decide before the beginning of this new year, shall we say yes to the full commitment to Christ or no? Anything else will only bear the judgment of God. For the Lord has said with an oath, let your answer be nay or yea. And shall we pray for the world of sinners lost? Because the Lord has called us like he called Isaiah. He didn't say, Isaiah, I want you to go. He said, who will go? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And the Lord said, well, I'm sending you out to people that have ears that will not hear and eyes that will not see. And all as we see the things in the world happening that are all foretold in the scriptures, yet people have deaf ears and blind eyes to the love and grace and salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is many thousands turning to Christ today. And the only reason that the Lord didn't come in 1990 to this very moment is that there are more to come into the household of faith during the period of grace. But the day will come when the Lord shall come. And he'll come as a thief in the night. For we do not know the hour of the day. And the Lord said, if the strong man of the house knew the hour that the thief would break in, he would have waited to secure his place. Do we desire to secure our earthly possessions, or are our possessions in heaven waiting for that time, as we've sung this morning? Precious Christ of I, heavens of heavens to me, he's my all in all. So shall the Lord help us and bless us as we enter into this new year, as we see the Lord high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple, the place where we shall enter in, as we read there in Revelation 22, God and the Lamb is the light thereof, and there's no temple there, for they are the temple of the city of God, the place that he's prepared for us. And so let us, we've enjoyed the Lord's presence this morning, as we thought upon him, not be tempted to enter into New Year's resolutions, except, yes, Lord, to live for him until he comes. May the Lord bless us.